Pregnancy is a natural process, so if it's not happening or if it's not sticking, something is missing. After having a family member go through infertility and experiencing a miscarriage myself, I realized how little support and education women have around infertility. I want to change that. I'm Dr. Jane Levesque. I'm a naturopathic doctor and a natural fertility expert. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 a.m. for insightful case studies, expert interviews, and practical tips on how you can optimize fertility naturally. If you've been struggling with infertility, pregnancy loss, women's health issues, or you just want to be proactive and prepare yourself for the next big chapter in your life, this show is for you. Hi, ladies. Today, I want to talk to you about perimenopause, when it actually starts, and how to support yourself if you're trying to conceive and you're going through perimenopause. I know that sounds crazy, but if you're over the age of 35, as are, you actually have started going through some perimenopausal symptoms and you just have never been told that, and or you have been written off as those symptoms are normal. And so in this podcast episode, I want to break it down what it looks like to actually start perimenopause and not to fear it, but instead to become in tune with the body and use it as an opportunity to support yourself through the three different stages before you head into menopause. So it's graceful, and then you can age well. And if you are over the age of 35 trying to conceive, to essentially help you conceive through each phase and what you need to focus on when you are in each phase. So a couple of stats for you globally, what's going on is we are seeing women going into menopause at younger and younger ages. So 47, 49 versus 55, 56. We're also seeing young girls getting their first menarche at younger ages. So some as early as 6, 7 years old, as opposed to 11, 12, 13. So that average of when girls are getting their first period is definitely going down, meaning the girls are younger and younger, which of course is very concerning because if somebody gets their period at 6 or 7 years old, by the time they're 37, they've had 30 years worth of periods, their ovaries are going to shut down, or they're already shutting down. And that's why we are seeing more premature ovarian insufficiency cases. And that's a whole other, can of worms. And I, of course, have a lot of podcasts and information around that. Globally, if we're seeing this, we know that perimenopause is probably actually starting a lot sooner than most women realize. And so the goal is to shed some light on this. The way that we calculate when you're going to start perimenopause and the shifts in your hormones and the symptoms and the lab work, and then therefore how we need to support you to help you age gracefully or to help you conceive during the phase where the ovaries are not quote unquote in their prime, is you're going to take your mom's age of menopause. So 1 year after she stopped having her period, that's the age of her menopause. So for my mom, that was 53. If I take 15 years back, so minus 15, I'm going to be around 38 when I start to experience my perimenopausal symptoms. I am 38 now, I'm turning 39, and I'll tell you that in the last couple of years, I have definitely noticed shifts in my hormones, and not just this year, but in the last couple of years. And so there is your mom's age, there's of course your grandma's age, and you kind of take the average of that. If your mom or your grandma had a hysterectomy, or essentially anything that forced them to go into menopause early, or they're deceased, and so you have no idea when. That also will give us some information. So, I had a patient who her mom died at 35 because of ovarian cancer. That tells us a lot about oxidative stress and mitochondrial function and genetic predisposition already. So yes, sure, we don't know when she's going to go into perimenopausal symptoms, but we have an idea that there are some issues down the road. So how do we prevent that? Well, we test now and we get very in tune with our symptoms now. So then we can have graceful aging. And if you are trying to conceive during the perimenopausal stages, you can actually do and do it well. So have a healthy pregnancy, have a healthy baby, have a good postpartum period, recover well. And for some women, even have another child, depending on how old you are. Like my sister was 37 when she had her first and 40 when she had her second. She was very much in those perimenopausal years. So it's possible. You just have to approach it very differently than what I think the conventional system tells us to do, which is just try it and see what happens. No. So I know that I've noticed shifts in the last couple of years. And so I'm going to break it down, phase one, phase two, phase three, what happens and how to, like, from the hormonal perspective, from lab perspective, symptoms, and then what do you do to support yourself to have the healthy hormonal function? And then obviously to help support your fertility during this phase, because like I said, most women that I meet who are trying to conceive, they are already in at least phase one of perimenopause, if not phase two, and some are even in phase three. So, and they know that and they feel it, but nobody's really talking about it and not, nobody's putting quantifiable numbers on it, which I think just makes it more chaotic. So I want to give you some more concrete data, because when you have data, you know exactly what you need to do to support the body and then to obviously optimize your chance of conceiving. So phase one is, I'd love to say that there's an age, but it's different for every woman. And we talked about the genetic component, but then there's also the environmental component. Like, why are girls getting their periods at 6 years old? Why are women now going through menopause at 49 versus 56? Yes, genetics, but our genetics are dictated by our environment. A lot of them are. So the environmental toxins, the inflammation, the infections, the high stress, the EMFs, all of that is playing a role, and we very much are seeing it in globally, right? In the health of the population, in the health of our women, in the health of our children. So this is why I make these podcasts, so we can turn it around and we can become aware and essentially heal ourselves and heal the planet, heal the earth. When we feel good, we want to do good things for the planet. Perimenopause starts around 15 years before your mom's cycle, but here's the symptoms that you're looking out for. The first thing that starts to happen is that progesterone starts to decline. And the reason for that is because progesterone is actually really high on the steroidogenesis pathway. So like cholesterol, pregnenolone, progesterone, and then the rest where it's cortisol and estrogen and testosterone. If you are high stressed, if the body needs a little bit more testosterone or estrogen, progesterone will sacrifice itself and go into those areas. And so the first thing that we start to see is the slow decline in progesterone on the labs. Typically, you might see the AMH is starting to decline. Maybe the ovarian reserve, if you're doing ultrasound, is declining. FSH may be slowly starting to rise, but it's still going to be below 10, which is great. It's, you know, the sign that the ovaries are connected to the brain. You're definitely still menstruating on a regular basis, but you're probably going to notice some subtle shifts in the PMS because that progesterone is dominant in the second half of the cycle. So what does that look like? You might have a little bit more irritability and more outbursts where you're all of a sudden have road rage, or maybe you're a little bit more snappy with your partner or your children if you already have them. And it definitely happens in that second half of the cycle where you just feel like you can't control that frustration and that mood as easily as you used to, slash you just feel that. And the sleep is usually the next thing that starts to decline because progesterone is our peace hormone. It's the thing that makes us feel really calm. So when we don't have it, we feel irritated and it's hard for our nervous system to snap into this parasympathetic state. So whether it's difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, is that progesterone really helps us with that. And I would say that most women will notice the biggest difference there. So is it possible to conceive during this phase? Absolutely. You're still ovulating. That ovulation is not as strong as it used to be. So we do need some mitochondrial support. We need some inflammation and probably stress support to really understand why it's, as the progesterone and the hormones start to decline, it's just a sign that we're aging. And so I'm always looking at what speeds up aging, what slows it down. And so things that speed it up is that inflammation and oxidative stress and regular stress, lack of sleep, all that jazz will speed it up. So what do we do to decrease aging? This is where the testing comes into play. We can then just be very specific. Like, this person is very stressed, or they have really high mold, or they have this infection, or whatever, this really big nutrient deficiency, and that's just adding to the stress of the body. So we want to support progesterone, whether that's through nutrition, through supplements, through diet, through lifestyle, or through bioidentical hormones, if you're choosing to go that way, to just help support the production of progesterone and the receptor sensitivity. So as we produce less progesterone, the receptors in the body go, oh, you don't need me anymore. I can just shut down. And it's like, no. Especially if you're trying to get pregnant, we want to keep those progesterone receptors on for as long as possible. And even truly postmenopause, if you choose to go down the HRT route, we want to keep those progesterone around at not the same level hormone that you had in your 20s or even in your 30s, when you're in menopause, but at a level that allows your immune system to function well, it keeps your inflammation under control, your metabolism, you know, all of those things. There's lots of pros and cons, and I'm not going to really talk a lot about HRT, but what I'm saying is
progesterone function is really important. And I have that conversation with all of my patients where it's like, hey, is HRT something that you're going to consider? And let me walk you through what I would do versus let's do some things to support you naturally with that hormone production and that receptivity, the receptors to progesterone to make sure that you're not declining too quickly. Because let's face it, when there's no hormones, that's when we are seeing the aging in women, and whether it's their skin or their bones or their muscle mass, I mean, everything is connected to the vitality and the amount of hormones that you have. So we want to really be supporting progesterone, and we want to make sure we're really prioritizing sleep. So you're not scrolling on the phone, you're going to bed on time, you're, you know, taking time to de-stress, all of those beautiful things that I know you guys know to do. Maybe sometimes we don't do them, but they're really, really important in this phase. Phase two, perimenopause, is the theme here is up, down, up, down. You can have high estrogens, you can have really high estrogen, and then you can have low estrogen. And it's not that every cycle is going to rotate. Every woman is going to be different here. Sometimes a woman will go through a phase of really high estrogen and medium estrogen and then low estrogen. Sometimes it's low, it's high, it's up, down, up, down, up, down. It's estrogen chaos is kind of the name of this phase, if you will. And the reason that chaos is happening is because that progesterone is declining. So that progesterone is not there to regulate the estrogen. And so estrogen is going all over the place. If for the most part, when you have those kind of medium to high levels, women will feel really confident. They will have a high libido. They'll have kind of this sexual exploration and they'll feel really great about themselves. Their skin will be glowing. They'll have lots of white cervical fluid production. They might ovulate a couple times during the cycle because the body is, you know, the progesterone isn't really there. And then the FSH is starting to increase, but it's still probably below 15. So you're still ovulating, but it's not as strong. And the decline in follicle quality is for sure noted. Again, and it depends on the cycle, because there's some cycles where the woman will really ovulate and it'll be like fantastic quality eggs. And then the next cycle, the estrogen is low and there's, you know, barely anything. But it's because that progesterone is declining. Yeah. So we need to keep the progesterone there so the estrogen stays in control. Again, you're going to test and see if testosterone is starting to decrease, if DHEA is starting to go out of whack, because some women might need some DHEA at this time to just help support. Again, that's usually connected to cortisol and stress and inflammation. We keep the progesterone in. If the woman needs to go on estrogen, I highly recommend to do a Dutch panel. So you dried urine test for comprehensive hormones, so you can see how she is breaking down that estrogen and which pathways she's going down. So especially if there's any cancers in the family, reproductive cancers that are associated with estrogen, we do not want to put a woman on HRT without knowing any of this information, or even herbs and supplements that support estrogen production or estrogen clearance without truly knowing where she needs that support. From symptoms, though, like I said, that medium high, most women will feel pretty good. When that estrogen gets out of control, then you are seeing fibroids, you're seeing really heavy bleeding, you're seeing fibrocystic breasts and swollen breasts and puffiness, because histamine usually comes with a high estrogen and inflammation. You're also probably going to see a lot of migraines and headaches. It's chaos, estrogenic chaos, if you will. And then when that estrogen drops and it's really low, you're having more of those symptoms of the aches and pains in the joints and the vaginal dryness and maybe the UTIs or some bladder infections that are going on. The motivation goes down. She starts to gain weight around her belly. When we're looking at testing, and this phase two, you can always detect estrogen, but it might be high sometimes, it might be low other times. Like I said, this is the phase where it goes up, down, up, down, up, down. It feels chaotic. And so how do we support a woman? Well, I said the Dutch test, I want to know how she's metabolizing and breaking down her estrogen so I can help the body drive estrogen into the right area. I need to make sure I'm supporting that progesterone production to the level that keeps that estrogen in check. This is where sleep routine becomes really important. This is where not so much high intensity, but heavy weightlifting becomes really important. This is where walking becomes really important. Meditation, nervous system regulation. I find that if you are trying to conceive during this phase, this is when it is all about timing. If sometimes a woman, I'll get her to track her LH strips and like, oh, I ovulated twice this month, I guess, and I didn't ovulate at all this month, and this month I ovulated. And so one of my patients who is, I believe she's 43, and she's like, I don't know what's going on. I'm like, listen, you're in this phase where it's going to be up, down, up, down. So right now we're working on optimizing your digestion and improving your nutrient status and getting rid of some infections, getting rid of inflammation, regulating your blood sugars. But once we're ready to start trying to conceive, which is just in a few months as we finish up some of our protocols, then it's really going to be about timing it. Can we time it at the cycle that we have the best ovulation? Because you're not going to have the best ovulation every cycle. Now, this is a couple that wants to try naturally. And so we're going to give 3 to 4 cycles to try and see if we can catch that good ovulation, because of course, the chance of miscarriage is really high. And then we've done all of our testing and our due diligence to make sure all the nutrients are high. You know, we've optimized the gut, we've decreased the inflammation. And then it's really about timing. And I do ask my women to lean into their intuition, because I think when women put aside the really strong desire to have a child, and I just ask them, does this feel like the month? They can tell me like, yes, this feels, I feel so amazing. Like my libido is high. I feel really connected with my partner. I know that this is a strong ovulation. And again, if I ask them another month and I say, do you feel like this is the month? They'll go, no, like I just don't feel quite ready. Even though they've been trying to conceive for 2 years. Like I had she's not in her 40s, she's 30 something. And I'm like, how does it sound when I say like in 2 months, we're ready to start trying? And she's like, to be honest, it's crazy that I'm saying this, but I feel like I just need a little bit of time. Like I feel that my body is working through some things and I just needed to work through these things so then I feel ready. And it's like, yes, when you tune into yourself, you can really tell what is what. And it's hard to tune into yourself when you have a lot going on, meaning you have infections, you have inflammation, you have high stress, you have low nutrients. So I find as we build you up, then you can start to trust yourself and you can trust your intuition. So very possible to conceive. We're still doing a lot of mitochondrial support. We're doing progesterone support. We're doing gut inflammation, but you have to make sure, if you will, that we're testing, we're seeing what's happening with the body. And then you're very much sure just trying to time the cycle for that ovulation, because you're not ovulating every time. Now there's inconsistency within the actual cycle. Phase 3, though, this is when that FSH starts to rise, the LH starts to rise, you are seeing low estrogen, or like, you know, it's not detected, where the ovaries are definitely shutting down. You might see low hormones everywhere, so like progesterone, testosterone, DHEA. And this is where phase 3 is what most women think about perimenopause, where they're experiencing the hot flashes, the urinary tract infections, the dry, no libido, the dry vaginal, the no vaginal secretion, so vaginal dryness, bone aches, joint aches, neurological symptoms starts to pop up, or autoimmune diseases. And that's just because of like all the hormones are down and they're not there to regulate the nervous system or the immune system. And so things can kind of go out of control, if you will. Again, the question is, when did the woman notice that she was going through perimenopause? And am I meeting her now? And now I need to try to save the receptors that are still around and make them as sensitive as possible. Are we introducing HRT? Is she trying to get pregnant during this phase? You for sure are probably looking into doing some kind of ovarian stimulation and rejuvenation therapy to just see what we can do to bring extra blood flow to the ovaries and mitochondrial support, nutrient support. I say that everything in this phase has to be very, very strict, not just if you're trying to get pregnant, but in general, like if you want to age well, this is a really big transition for the body and it's a really big transition for you mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And so this is when women will say, I just don't feel like myself anymore. And so it's giving yourself space to explore who the new version of you is. What do you want to take into the future? What do you want to leave behind? And then, like I said, from the physical standpoint, do you want to go on HRT or do you want to just support yourself naturally? And again, no right or wrong. And to be honest, if you asked me a year ago about HRT, I'm like, no, you don't need to do it. Where now I think the more research that I do, it really depends on the HRT and who's prescribing it and how they're prescribing it. And of course, when you do it well, it can do wonders. And technically, if you're taking a low dose DHEA, that's HRT. If you're taking a low dose progesterone, that's HRT. So I think when you're working with the right practitioner and you kind of want to outline and understand your short and long-term goals, it's a really wonderful tool to have, but it's not an end all and be all. You still have to get rid of infections. You still need to make sure your gut is working well. You still need to make sure you have good nutrient levels for your immune system to work properly and to handle all the stress that you go through on a day-to-day basis. So it's not just like magic pill. You very much have to do all the work with it as well. And like I said, I'm in the business of helping people have healthy babies so then you can have healthy families and you can actually enjoy them versus, oh my God, I had the baby and then I barely got through pregnancy and then postpartum I went into depression and now I'm exhausted. So it's very much supporting women on this journey and just helping them understand all the possibilities and how we can support them so you guys can make the decision, right? It's full informed consent. So possible to get pregnant. You have to be very, very strict. You probably are going to need some HRT support, to be honest, if you are trying to get pregnant, and whether it's DHEA or progesterone or estrogen or all three or even testosterone. But you do need to do lots of testing. You might need to do some ovarian rejuvenation therapy to essentially do everything that we can to get the eggs that are still left to conceive. And then menopause is 1 year after menarche. So once you stop bleeding for 1 year and 1 day, you are officially in menopause. And there's a lot more to learn there. And the symptoms that women develop are usually associated with the levels of hormones that are going down. And of course, this is the phase where we are not able to conceive because the ovaries have shut down, and it depends on how long they've been shut down for. But I hope you guys find this helpful. I think there is not a lot of information. And obviously, like as I'm learning as a practitioner, I want to share it with you. But what was helpful for me and what's helpful for my patients is now when I see it, my patients, I can just put them in this compartments of like, are they phase one, phase two, or phase three? And then what am I going to see on the lab work? And how can I support them as they're going through these phases? And if fertility is their goal, which for my patients it is, then how do we work with the body to essentially help my couples achieve their family goals? When you identify the issue, I can't tell you what it is, but having that intention behind like, this is what I'm doing with this supplement and this is the phase that that person is, it just provides a lot of clarity. And I had this aha moment with my mentor on office hour. And I'm like, you know, sometimes I know that there's an infection and it's like, I know that they need to clear it and they'll probably benefit from some parasite cleansing or whatever, but I haven't been able to identify it on a test. And she said, I find when I just treat things without really identifying it, it's like you haven't called it out. And so you're not going to get it. It's just like you have to name the fear. You have to name the issue that you're worried about. And as soon as you name it, or the feeling that you're feeling, as soon as you name it and you release it, then you can deal with it. And it's the same with these infections or the same with these stages of perimenopause. I can name it and say, this is where the person is. And then all of a sudden I see that the labs line up and I see that their symptoms line up and then I give them the specific, you know, supplement protocol, whatever, and they improve. That intention and that clarity is a lot, is more of the treatment that I'd care to admit. You know, I'd love to say that it's just that, but when I am able to name it, whether it's an infection or the phase, and then give the protocol around it, I do notice much greater results. So my hope is that you stop grasping at straws and you're able to name the thing that you are going through. And if you're having a hard time figuring out what that is, honestly, this is why we're here. If my message aligns for you, please send us a message. Let us know that you're interested in working with us and we'll show you what those steps are. Because if we can help you, we'll help you. And if we can't, we'll make sure to point you in the right direction. Like I said, I'm a clinician and like I see other clinicians because it's just so hard to see your own case and know exactly what you need to do. And I share all of this information because it will help you pick the right clinician to work with you. I have a lot of people who come to me and they're like, I'm already doing all these things, but my clinician doesn't specialize in fertility. And so they don't know these little nuances that actually make such a big difference. And sometimes it's just one or two things that are missing, but they make such a big difference in the patient's case and, of course, in their success rate. So I am a big proponent of finding the right practitioner. And if I'm the right practitioner, please send us a message. And like I said, we'll help you figure out if we're the right people to help you. If we can't, we'll always point you in the right direction. So thank you guys so much for being here. I hope you enjoyed this episode and I'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening. To read the full show notes of this episode, including summary, timestamps, guest quotes, and any resources that were mentioned on the episode, visit www.drjanelevesque.com/podcast. And if you're getting value from these episodes, I'd love it if you took 2 minutes to share it with a friend, rate and leave me a review at www.ratethispodcast.com/Dr. Jane. The reviews will help with the discoverability of the show. And who knows, I might share your review on my next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, and let's make your fertility journey your healing journey.